Welcome back to the Emo Podcast. It's only been like 3-5 years. I don't know. The last time I remember recording, something happened, which I won't bring up because it just is stupid. Welcome back. Yes, I've had a podcast. Actually, I had this podcast called the Shenanigans Podcast. Oh my god, I'm hilarious. And actually, it's pretty good. I would say all those episodes stand up. It was back when I still had a brain. I was kind of an intellectual. It was my first year in... it was my first year at uni, guys. It was my first year at Dominguez Hills, so that was fun. I remember those days. Actually, I don't remember them at all. It was all a blur. I finished college too fast, in my opinion, because everyone else that I knew stayed like an extra year, like the people that I came in with. But that's beside the point. The point here today is to talk about everything, and but mostly the books I've been reading. I think this could be a good outlet for me to let out all my frustrations and explain things to myself, if anything, if I'm the only one that listens to myself, what I've been reading. Thus far, I have read 20 books since August, and I thought that was a lot, but people are crazier than me, and they've read way more. I guess last month was the month I read the most, but I would like come home and read until 5, and then I would go to sleep, and then I would go to work. But now, even though it doesn't seem like it, I like do have balance and boundaries. Yeah, but I mean, I have so many books that I've read that I wouldn't even know where to start. Okay, but let me tell you, I can't tell you where this to start. The first book I read was, I'm here actually to talk about a specific book called Tempting Little Thief, because it's the last one I finished, and it was such a journey. It took forever to finish. But let me just tell you that the first book I read in like 20 years, I'm 29, so it probably is accurate. I don't think the last book I read for fun, I was like in high school, and it was called Guitar Girl, and it was like YA fiction, and I thought, this is so stupid, but I'm like, oh, it was perfect. Oh, wait, is young adult like 13? I don't know. I was like 15? I don't remember. So, it's called The Sweetest Oblivion. And I think what caught me was the cover, because it's so cute. It's like blue and pink, and like there's a card in there. So it's about arranged marriage. And then I learned what an arranged marriage trope is. So, and actually I went through the motions with this because... I thought I had no morals and ethics. Well, I like to think that I go around pretending like I don't care about anything at all, and I'm not a judger, but sometimes I do think, and then I realize, like, cause sometimes there's like TikToks that be like, I can justify murder and something else, and but not cheating. I can't say it because the TikTok says I can justify racism, but that I draw the line at murder. Is that the TikTok? I just find it so bizarre people use that sound, because it's and then it says you can justify racism. I don't know. I don't get it. You know, outside of TikTok, life doesn't make sense. It just, everything seems so serious outside of it. So in this one, there's this guy named Nicholas and this girl named I don't know, the sweet Abeli. I have no idea her name is. Isabella? Am I making this shit up? But so like he gets arranged marriage to her sister, and but he's like always like hitting on her, and like it's just, there's so many creepy weird moments, and I couldn't get past it. I was like, but he's gonna marry your sister. And I wasn't happy until it finally got to a point in the book where things started making sense. But that was funny. I was like, I can't believe I'm fine with murder, but that part is what got me. I'm okay. So let's see. Let's talk about Tempting Little Thief. So the reason I decided to watch it was because I saw a TikTok that says, I shared it. It said something about psychotic bookmen, and right. So this guy complimented a girl's dress, and then he shot him and said, "Oh my bad, I thought you liked the color red." So I was like, "Oh, that sounds interesting." But in the book, what happens is he does compliment her, but the guy, he's not around when this happens. They're by themselves, and they're like at a yacht somewhere in the middle of I don't know where. I actually don't even know where this book is set, if I'm being honest with you. So let me explain this bit before I get into the book. And then later he sneaks into her school and he shoots a guy with an arrow in archery class. It's not a gun. Anyways, the guy's like, he's like, pick a target. And he's like, which target do you want me to get? And he's like, you choose, like, pick the one you want. And so this man shoots his foot because obviously that's what he wants to shoot. So, the guy's like, don't take out the arrow because he can see what a menace he is, right? And then when he takes it out, he twists it and then takes it out and then says, oh my bad, I thought you liked the color red. That was so much more interesting than the TikTok, because I don't know, it's both better and worse. Like, it makes him more psychotic, but also it makes the book better. I don't know, is it me explaining myself? Give me like 1 sec. And it's funny because like this book took me forever to read. It was 500 pages. I needed the help of Audible. Like, I like audiobooks because, you know, I just put my hair behind my ear. Like, if you know, you know. But so I had to like audiobook it and then read it myself. I had to read it when I was in the fucking concert. Like, it was a fucking journey because this, I'm not used to this type of book. Like, I always said to myself, never secret societies, never dark academia. Like, that's just not my jam. Like, I give two shits about that. I'm all about just like violence and like slight romance, you know. I'm not okay. By the way, the Benedetti brother series, that's a journey too. So it starts off, I guess they're like at a gas station. I'm not paying attention because sometimes I just make up scenarios in my head. Like, in my head they were outside of valet place, but they were actually outside of a gas station, I think. I'm still not certain. And so like this guy named Bastian Bishop, he's the main male character, he's like beating up a guy or something. And then there's this girl, like, you know, it's like a typical movie scene. She comes out looking beautiful and like pretty, and then he's like, oh, like, let me watch out for her. Like, I need to see who she is in case like she wants to talk about what I'm doing or whatever. But she like totally gives two shits. She's not fazed at all by the violence she's seeing. And then when she gets, she goes inside, she grabs a Slurpee, Icy, I don't know what they're called, Icy, and she comes out, she's like, oh, I like your car, like, but it's a shame, like, you don't have money to fix it up or something. And she kind of gets, like, close to him and stuff. And then she leaves, right? But by that time, he has, like, her plates written down in his phone, I guess. I don't fucking know. And then, oh my god, I don't remember. I'm only gonna tell you guys the parts I remember, because honestly, this book was so long and so boring. I'm like, there's too much plot here. And somebody else said it, it's like, there's too much backstory. And it's like I get it. Like, even in The Sweetest Oblivion, when they were describing, like, the house, like, I'm pretty sure we know what a mafia house looks like, you know, like, we don't need that much description. So he finds her and he takes her phone away. Oh wait, no, she had stole his phone. And so when they ran her plates, because he had memorized them, there was like some sort of like security breach and shit. So anyways, they were both like super mysterious, you know, like I'm saying, like, they're about who they are and stuff. So he sneaks in to retrieve his phone. Oh yeah, there's like this place called the Enterprise, and like, this is what I'm telling you, I don't get what the fuck is going on here. To me, the Enterprise sounds like Lux, like a club for like I don't know, but it's specifically for rich people and people in this like secret society. And by the way, it makes no sense that this is like a secret society but also like mafia underworld crime crap. It's just too confusing. Me personally, I don't like to hear about secret societies at all. I don't give two shits about them. If they exist, fine, they're not affecting me in a way that I can tell. So then, how do I say this, triple X time, guys, is it? I don't know. Anyway, so they like have their little moment and he like leaves her and stuff. And then I don't know how they get back together, actually. Does he sneak in again? I don't know. But so and then this is what gets me. When I look at the book, it was always like, he saw her, he left. He saw her, he left. He saw her, he left. And it's just like, can't you guys go like watch a fucking movie, like, be fucking normal? And then at some point, the main female main character, MFC, guys, I know words too, has a friend who's like a hacker, because obviously. So they find none information about him, but they track his car through satellite videos. And then they find where he's at, and I don't know if she goes there or not, but then he sneaks in again into, like, so they live in this wonderful, am I awesome at explaining stuff? They live in a huge Hogwarts lockdown crap. So he gets in and like he lures everybody to a fighting rink, and then like he gains the trust of these two boys who are in the school, so that then they start working for him, and then there's like, they're splitting their loyalties, because they're actually supposed to be loyal to her. They live in something called the Grayson, I don't know, but that's what they're called, the Graysons. That's as if they were the what did they call the Illuminati, the Gormagons. So that's step one of little Bastion's plan. And by the way, Miss Girl has like a secret, but they watch her all the fucking time. She's like more projected than the president's daughter or the president himself, but somehow she's been managing to sneak and see Bastion. We don't know why this makes sense. Her bodyguard is a guy named Sai, and he's supposed to be literally the best, and like, he trusts her more. Oh, I forgot the beginning of the story, you guys. Wonderful. So the beginning starts off with Bastion Bishop murdering his father, who was abusive, and his mother just watching. And so somebody like approaches him and they're like, well, you could like work for us, or like you could go to jail. And he's like, I really don't care about my sister not being involved in any of this shit. This book is so long for no reason. So then he goes there, and the whole book is just talking about how he's like poor and lives in a group home, and like he's dirty, and he's, well, you guys should listen to the audiobook. It's pretty good. Okay, so I'm just gonna skip the whole story because the whole story was super long. The plot twist was that her bodyguard had been looking for someone to essentially replace him in case something happened to him, and he found the perfect person in Bishop. I find it easier to call people by their last name, except for the girl, Rockland, because her last name is Ravena, and I'm like, Ravena, it just makes sense. So he like secretly had been working against her father, because her father is like this big important dude. There's like so much going on in this book, I would need days to explain it, but let me just tell you why I'm mad, because I went through this whole journey, and part of this book, this is the spicy part of it, was that she basically needed a male dominatrix. Dude, that's stupid. Because she held so much power in her real life that, like, everybody did what she wanted. And so, like, when she was Bastion, she could be, like, submissive, and he could tell her what to do and stuff, and she would, because she's dumb bitch. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, if she was as smart as they described her in the beginning, she should have seen right through everything. So I don't understand what happened here. So that's the part about the book that I hated, that she went from being like powerful to literally being somebody's like little person on a leash. Because literally, he puts like a choker on her or something, or there's like some sort of mark, and it's weird. I'm like, I don't like how this book ends. And so he essentially replaces her dad as the boss, this boy who came from nothing and like grew to be to the top of the crime world, the biggest boss. This book makes absolutely no sense. Also, like I said, they only saw each other a couple times, and when they saw each other, it was like for a specific thing. The Chili Pepper scenes, right? And I'm like, how could you love her? You don't know anything about her, and vice versa. Like, what the fuck? It makes absolutely no sense. And then, like, the whole time in the book, there's a threat that somebody's, like, stalking her or, like, trying to go after her the whole time. It was Bastion. What? And so he was, like, literally always stalking her. So, and then I finally, not finally, but, like, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. Like, when somebody was, like, oh, you know, the cold open to, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I was like, no, what the fuck is that? I'm sorry, I'm stupid. So I've never had heard of the third act breakup, and during the third act breakup, he like leaves her alone, and she's just like losing her shit, and I'm like, what? And then he wants her to believe that he doesn't give a shit, because he needs her to be like, I guess, distant for his plan to work. So at the end, he becomes a fucking like millionaire, and I'm like, and then he would make fun of people because they were rich and they were wearing suits, and guess what, he would call them monkey suits. He puts on a monkey suit at the end, believe that or not. And also, there's a character named Enzo who's supposed to be like a threat in the book, right? Never do we find out much about his family or what he does. I think we see him once at the end. And I'm like, This book is literally the dumbest book I've ever read. I was so pissed when I finished it. So yeah, I was only there for the fight club scene and then the archery scene, and that was pretty much it, because the rest of the book was just boring. But let me know if you liked the book. Let me know if it inspired you to not read it. So that's the only reason I'm telling guys about this book. Because I don't think you should read it. Not unless you're creepy like me. So the next book that... I'm reading a book called... and this is another thing that I this is... It's called a taboo book. It's called Lessons in Sin. And it's about a priest who's like... 40 and an 18-year-old, and I'm like, this will only work in a book, because in real life, jail, you know. And it's, I don't know, I'm so far only like past the first chapter, but I'm thinking I should read my girl Tessa Bailey. I don't know her like that to be calling her my girl, but her book covers are super cute, so maybe she is my girl. So that's it for today's episode. I would love to say something. Oh, right. Actually, it's not it for today's episode. Give me another second. I personally have never cared, nor will ever care. That's actually not true. I stopped recording my podcast because a certain specific people listened to it, and it always creeped me out that it was only certain specific people. But if I completely ignore that, then I can say the following. So how do I say this without making me sound like a bad person? I said I would go somewhere, and then I didn't go somewhere. And so, like, my whole family was mad at me. And I was like, okay, good for you guys. Like, I wanted to die, so I don't really care about anybody or anything, really. I'm just trying to take care of myself right now. Basically, I'm talking about dating, if you didn't get the gist. And then my mom was like, she was like, basically saying that I should date someone, and she keeps on wanting me to like settle for people I don't like. And I've felt this before, even when I was like 20, where I literally saw this, how do I say this without sounding like a terrible person, I thought that the only person that I could date would be like somebody older and ugly, and like, I don't know, like that's what I thought when I was like 20. I was like, I probably could only date like somebody who's old, and that's probably the only person that would like me. And I'm like, then again, I've always had depression, so I'm not worried about dick most of the time. It just goes away, the thought of dating. But now I'm 30, right? So like, now it's like, oh my god, girl, you're gonna die alone, according to other people. I honestly truly don't give a shit. Like, at the end of the day, when I was 15, I had a super intense realization that all I wanted to do with my life is be happy, and I don't want to solve cancer, I don't want world peace, I don't want to be a fucking millionaire. Like, honestly, give two shits about that. My only goal in life is to be happy, and I think that's the way that I would essentially, in a way, break the chains of, this is what they call it in Spanish, like the repetition of history and all that crap, right? So I was actually just really disappointed in my mother, who has always told me that I'm pretty, and like, I never, like, she brought me down so low. And I was like, you know what? Life is too short to be miserable, to be doing something I don't want to do, to try to be something I don't want to be, to try to be something I am not. I'm perfectly fine at home reading my little smutty books and trying to get my mind right so that I could do what it is that I will do in the future. And also, I was like, at the end of the day, what if that did happen? What if I ended up alone? And would that make me less valuable as a person? Like, for those people that believe in God, like, would God look down on me? Would my life be worth less? Well, in society's eyes, it kind of would be. And I always, like, it's so funny. I went through so much in college. I was there for, like, 6 straight years, including summers, guys. That's why I have so much school trauma, and I don't want to go to grad school. Where I read this article by Lisa Cacho named You Just Don't Know What He Meant to Me, which talked about the value of a person, specifically the value of a male who did not have any children, right? And how that itself became like a queer identity. So I feel like in my life, even though I'm not a man, I've also lived in that queer identity most of my entire life. And I've had to think of my value as a person. And I'm like, so what if I'm alone and I die alone? Like, as long as I'm happy, as long as I'm doing what I want, you know? Like, if I really wanted to, I would put myself out there. Like, it's really not the end of the world, guys. You guys don't need to worry about me getting dick, because I'm not worried about it. And I'm saying this literally. I've literally been told this. And almost by my own family. So I'm like, what a weird time to live in, guys. What a weird time to live in. And I have so many redeeming qualities. I'm so likable. I'm so funny. And I don't know. I deserve to feel like I have value in this world outside of what society, my family, wants, you know? So, but my biggest issue here is what I'm telling you, that I'm number one. I'm gonna worry about myself more than I worry about anybody else, because that's the only thing you can do in order to take care of others. You collapse. That's it. How are you gonna help people? You can't do it. So my mental health is always gonna go before. And I'm not gonna make myself uncomfortable to make anybody else happy. It's just not gonna happen at this day and age. Because she's 29. Like Schmidt said, 29. Anyway, so I hope you enjoyed my podcast and my rant, and I hope you think I'm funny, because that's the only thing I have going for me, apparently. Oh, because I'm also fat now, so that's great. I'm not gonna explain that one, because I feel like you should know, okay?